Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Media Beat. I am Dan Lovallo as we prepare the Sports Media Beat for December 27th, 2019. Hope you had a Merry Christmas. Among the topics on today's Sports Media Beat, is gambling going to overwhelm the sports media in 2020? We'll have the details later in the podcast. Just a reminder, you can go to my website, sportsmediabeat.com, where I link to all of the notes and stories that we talk about. So just go to sportsmediabeat.com, and you'll get all of the information. Okay, let's begin with the NFL ratings for Week 16. That single header on CBS last Sunday between the Ravens and the Browns got a 7.5 rating. It attracted 12.54 million viewers. The game was shown in 59% of the USA, lowest-rated Week 16 single header since at least 2000 and least watched since 2002 when 10.96 million tuned in. But here's the big story. The second game of the day, which was seen on Fox, and that's, what do they call it, America's game? NFL's highest-rated Week 16 game in 4 years, shown in 88% of the markets, got a 14.2 rating and a 25.32 million audience. In other words, 25.32 million people watched that. Baseball would go gaga if it could get those numbers for a World Series game, and here's the NFL getting it for a regular season game, albeit a big game, but still, it's a tremendous rating. Third highest rated and fifth most watched game of the season. And get this, in Philly, it got a 65 share, in Dallas, a 60 share. What does that mean? Well, a 65 share means that of all the television sets turned on in the Philadelphia market, 65% of those TVs were tuned to that Dallas-Philadelphia game. That is quite a rating. Sunday Night Football on NBC between the Chiefs and the Bears, down 11% of the ratings, 13% in viewership, got a 9.7 rating, 17.03 million people watched, third least watched game on NBC this season. Let's go to the NFL Network. On Saturday, December 21st, the NFL had exclusivity on three games, and they scored big, particularly the second game, the game at 4:25 in the afternoon between the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots. Highest rated and most watched exclusive telecast on the NFL Network since Christmas 2016. And the numbers were fabulous. A 5.5 rating, 9.6 million people tuned in. Now, remember, not everybody gets the NFL Network. Not everybody subscribes to the NFL Record. So to get those numbers, 5.5 rating, 9.6 million viewers, that's phenomenal. Fifth largest audience for an NFL Network exclusive, by the way. Now, the night game, Rams and Niners, very respectable. The 4.8 rating, 8.5 million people watched. The first game of the afternoon, Texas and the Buccaneers, they got a 3.3 rating, 5.32 million watched. Monday Night Football on ESPN, Packers-Vikings, a lot at stake. These are premier teams. Well, highest rated and most watched Week 16 Monday Night Football game on ESPN in 3 years. Also, the fourth largest Monday Night audience of the season. A 7.8 rating, 13.57 million viewers. College basketball, the December 21st games on CBS. These were the Saturday games. They had a doubleheader. The first game was between UCLA and North Carolina and got a 0.8 rating. 1.2 million people watched. The second game was between Ohio State and Kentucky, a 1.4 rating, 2.27 million people watched, down 13% of the ratings and 16% in viewership compared to last year, but still the third largest audience of the season for college basketball. Now, on the other networks, Fox, they carried the Villanova-Kansas game on Saturday. Villanova upset Kansas. That game got a 0.8 rating, 1.27 million people tuned in. Then there was ABC. ABC is getting back into the college basketball market, if you will. They carried South Carolina, Virginia. That game got a 0.31 rating, 437,000 people watched. NCAA Women's Volleyball Championship, they did better than the basketball. This was also on Saturday. Stanford against Wisconsin attracted a 0.26 rating, 533,000 viewers tuned in on ESPN2. Lowest rated, least watched in the last 10 years. Ratings dropped 49%. Viewership down 43% from last year's Stanford-Nebraska final. But I repeat, did better than the South Carolina-Virginia men's hoops game on ABC. Premier Boxing Champions on Fox. Saturday night, a 1.1 rating, 1.65 million people tuned in. I said 1.65 million. I said 1.65 million. Down 15% of the ratings, 16% in viewership from the same weekend last year. But second most watched boxing telecast of the year. College football bowl games not off to a great start, and I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised because there are too many college football bowl games. You don't know who's playing. You don't know the name of the bowl. I heard one game, I think the bowl game that was played in San Diego, it was so long with all of the sponsors and the advertisers that it took the broadcaster about 10 minutes just to name the bowl game. Well, not that long, but you know what I mean. It was the something, 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 blah, 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 Holiday Bowl. So anyway, 7 of the 8 bowl games on Nielsen-rated networks through Monday, down from last year. Six of the seven hitting historic lows. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. Now, the premier games, they're going to score well. Clemson, Ohio State, going to score well. LSU, that game's going to score well. I mean, that's what people are tuned to. Plus, the weekend before Christmas, people are out Christmas shopping. They're not home watching college football bowl games. There will be a reason someday why they will watch bowl games, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But some other notes involving broadcasters. First, ESPN's Edward Ashkoff died at the far too young age of 34. They never announced the cause of death, but he had sent out tweets earlier in the month that he was hospitalized with pneumonia. Much too young. 34 years, and he died on his birthday. Our hearts and thoughts go out to the family of ESPN's Edward Ashkoff, who died at the much too young age of 34. Fired Knicks coach David Fizdale, who I guess is going to get paid off big time on his contract with the Knicks, also has another revenue source. He's rejoining ESPN as an NBA analyst. And former NHL player Jeremy Roenick, suspended indefinitely by NBC Sports, this happened on Monday, for his inappropriate remarks about fellow broadcasters Catherine Tappan, Patrick Sharp, and Anson Carter on the podcast Spittin' Chicklets. Finally, Digiday, predicting gambling will overwhelm the sports media in 2020. It's just the beginning. I'm here to tell you right now. Currently, gambling is legal in 11 states. One consultant predicts 40 states will legalize gambling by 2024. My home state of Connecticut is pushing hard for it. The states view it as a revenue source. The leagues, whether you're talking about Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, hockey, they view this as a way to increase ratings because now even more people are going to watch the games, especially games like baseball and the NHL, even the NBA. They're not doing well in the ratings. Well, they believe this will attract more eyeballs because people will have a stake in the outcome of the game. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I am saying, by the way, it opens up Pandora's box in so many ways. All you have to do is watch the NFL on Sunday. Some of these plays, some of these calls, some of these reviews of plays, you're telling me that's not going to open a Pandora's box? You're telling me people aren't going to say, oh, yeah, sure. Why did they overturn that call? What is that all about? Or, you know, why did that player drop the pass? He was wide open, and suddenly he drops the ball when he could have scored a touchdown. They are opening a Pandora's box like you cannot believe. But DigiDay, and I'll link to the story in the show notes, is predicting gambling will overwhelm the sports media in 2020. In which way? Well, this network is going to have a show on gambling. They've already started. There'll be a podcast about gambling. They've already started. There'll be all of these. There'll be a pregame to the pregame show, and it'll be specifically on gambling. What's the line of the game? Oh, that's another thing. Huh, they're going for the two-point conversion? Or how come they're not going for the two-point conversion when you're looking at the line of the game? And people are going to say, well, why, with the amount of money that these players are making today, why would they get involved in throwing a game? I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just telling you this is going to create controversy. But look, the people who are pushing this, the sports leagues who are pushing this, you think they haven't had the discussions that I've just talked about here? Of course they've had. And they're ready and prepared to deal with the consequences. And I can tell you this, these leagues, these major leagues, whether you're talking baseball, football, basketball, hockey, they have so many people that are on the premises, or maybe not on the premises, but who are observers to make sure these players and these games are on the up and up. That is a fact. But that still isn't going to remove what will now be conspiracy theories over the outcome of a game because it's legal to place a bet. Just saying. That's going to do it for Sports Media Beat. As always, thanks for listening. You can subscribe to Sports Media Beat in the Apple Podcast Directory or your favorite podcast directory, whatever that may be. If you would like to email me, get in touch with me. My email address is dan@danlavallo.com. And as always, thanks so much for listening to the Sports Media Beat.